This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The Chargers are out of the playoffs.
You know, the Chargers, you think they're going to zag when all they do is zig.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I told you they were going to stick with Staley and they were going to change some of the staff. Whatever your impulse is, do the exact opposite. Try that one out.
Earlier on the show, host of Peacock's Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio. Coming up, ESPN NFL analyst Robert Griffin III, Fox Sports NFL analyst Daryl Moose Johnston. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, it is. Can't confirm. Show me on TV. And there I am. I love starting hours like that. I'm also on the radio, by the way. Well, you know what? We're on the radio. And I'm not including you. It's the Royal Week.
Well, Mr.
I'm
Hand,
sorry. I just can't
if
stop.
If you're here, then and I'm here.
There is an I in Rich and Eisen. But anyway, it's the Rich Eisen Show on the Roku channel, which is free on all Roku devices.
Free.
Select Samsung smart TVs, Amazon Fire TV, the Roku app, the RokuChannel.com. We're also live on Sirius XM Odyssey and also this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate, smart enough to be part of the Rich Eisen Show radio network. We're also sitting here getting ready to talk to Moose Johnston in hour number three. Just like we just said goodbye to Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. Moose is calling Moose. Eagles hosting Giants. He just finished up calling Seattle versus the Niners, and he also knows what it's like when you're watching, knows what it's like to play in the Cowboys versus 49ers.
Yeah.
And so that's going to be a great conversation in hour number three. But joining us right now is one of my favorite people that I've gotten to meet really up close and personally over the last year. And it is so awesome to watch him blossom and become such an important voice covering the National Football League. And then, of course, a delight to listen to with Mark Jones calling college football games. Joining us from the worldwide leader in sports right now to kick off hour number two, right between Super Wild Card Weekend and the divisional playoffs, is Robert Griffin III. How are you doing, RG3?
Hey, Rich, I'm doing great, man. And I appreciate that introduction. And really just being involved with you has been a blessing, whether it's Run Rich Run or you having me on the show. It's been a delight to really be a part of your world, brother. I appreciate it.
Right back at you. Right back at you. And look for my call for April. We're gonna do the run again, Robert. So hopefully we can get you back so you can run even faster this time.
That'd be amazing. Be a lot of fun, no doubt about it.
Is even better. So let's just jump right into it. What's top of mind for you? I'm gonna, you know, instead of asking you a direct question, what truly is it top of mind for you? It can be involving a playoff game or what happened this weekend or anything that's going on with players that aren't playing or hitting free agency. What do you think is top of mind for you, Robert?
Yeah, Rich, I think you know where my mind is at. And I think everybody saw it on Monday Night Countdown. And if they didn't, you know, it's just a conversation surrounding Lamar Jackson. You know, I love everybody on our set. And when we have those conversations, we're not afraid to speak openly and speak freely. And when it comes to Lamar, there's just been a lot of negative narratives that are being created about him that aren't necessarily true. So I tried to clean that up. After talking with people inside the building and talking with Lamar, you know, he didn't play in the game in the playoffs and hasn't played down the stretch of the last part of the regular season because he was injured. You know, grade 2 PCL injury. And he didn't go to the game because he was sick. You know, he got examined. They diagnosed him as being sick, didn't want him to travel with the team, so he didn't travel. So it's not that he didn't want to be out there with his teammates. It's not that he wanted to be there to support them. He just physically couldn't in that moment. So I feel like a lot of these other things that are being said are really just trying to weaponize the narrative against him and truly try to blow that relationship up between him and the Ravens. I'm not saying that there aren't any difficulties there with the guaranteed money or him wanting to, you know, a new contract, but that had nothing to do with the reason that he didn't play.
Well, I mean, and so if you spoke to him, did you ask him why he felt the need to tweet out his injury information? Because you and I both know that is one of the most provocative things a player can do, certainly when a team feels, whether it may be or not, I don't know, the team feels that they've been there for him and trying to protect him and get him better, Robert.
Yeah, listen, no coach loves it when players are putting out information that the team's not putting out.
Right.
But, you know, I've lived what Lamar is going through, so I can't speak for him in that regard. What I feel is that there was a lot of negativity going his way, and he just wanted to get it out there that, you know, hey, guys, I really am hurt. I'm really injured, and this is what's going on. Now, the team, you know, they got HIPAA violations and guidelines that they got to go by that they can't put out injuries unless players actually want them to. So in that situation, Lamar was the only one that could speak to it. He ultimately decided to speak to it. And I think that had, you know, might have had something to do with just a lot of the public backlash that of people, you know, saying that he wasn't playing because he wanted a new contract, as opposed to him just not being physically able to perform.
Well, I mean, and for me, Robert, it's not the sense that he's like, you know, I don't have a contract, screw it, you know, to hell with you. Then if that was the case, then why did he play the first, right, 2/3 of the season,
exactly.
Right? I mean, but it is a sense of, you know, you didn't pay me, so why would I brace it up? Why would I run the risk? Like, that's the sense. Like, not screw you, just a little bit less enthusiastic about getting out there. You know what I'm saying, Robert? I mean, you tell me if I'm off. You spoke to him, and obviously you've lived it, but that's the sense. And that's where my spidey sense goes off that something's up between the two that is significant. Something's up.
Right, Richard. Yeah, and Rich, you've been in this business for an extremely long time and done it at the highest level, right? You're only kind of keep climbing. I'm speaking that into existence for you.
Thank you.
You understand that in TV, we all we're able to do at times is speculate and give an opinion. But if Lamar had a contract and he wasn't playing and he didn't play the last six games and he didn't play in the playoffs, no one would say anything to the contrary other than he's hurt. He's physically unable to go out there and play and be Lamar Jackson. It's not about him not wanting to play. So now when you take the contract and you put that in there, I'm not saying that people can't feel that he's not playing because of his contract situation. What I'm saying is that's not a fact. That's an opinion. The fact is he's not playing because he's hurt. And that's where the whole conversation kind of went off the rails a little bit on our show, just because two things can't be true. He can't be not playing because he's hurt and also not playing because he doesn't have a new contract. It's one or the other. And I believe that he didn't play because he was injured.
Robert Griffin III from the worldwide leader in sports, Countdown, and a college football analyst right here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, let's just jump right into it here. And you tell me which team in the Final Eight would you put your Robert Griffin III marker on right now?
Well, I mean, right now it's got to be the Kansas City Chiefs.
Ah.
You know, Mahomes is going to win the MVP. Jalen Hurts would have won it if he didn't miss, you know, a couple games there down the stretch. But what Mahomes has done has been nothing short of amazing this year. After losing Tyreek Hill, they came out and they were, you know, more efficient. They used more guys to be more prolific. And, you know, they still have Travis Kelce. They still have a Hall of Fame tight end, Hall of Fame quarterback, Hall of Fame head coach. And it showed. What they were able to do and what he's been able to do has been amazing. Now, their defense hasn't been all that great, but they have difference makers on that front line with Chris Jones who can wreak havoc up front. So when I think about that, that would be the team. And it's not because they're playing the Jags, because I think the Jags are actually a really hot team right now and have a lot of belief in what they're doing. It's just they're going up against, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs and the team that is primed to make another run towards the Super Bowl.
Witnessing what you did Monday night, does that give you more confidence in the Cowboys, or you just feel that they did what they did to a lesser opponent finally, right? I mean, like, that's a team that was playing down to opponents that they are more talented than and can eviscerate like we saw on Monday night. Where do you stand on the Cowboys now, having seen what you saw?
Yeah, Rich, I just imagine, like, the load of pressure that was on the Cowboys going into that game and, you know, the stakes playing against the 7-time Super Bowl champ and Tom Brady, the greatest of all time. A team that, you know, I picked the Bucs to win that game because I believed that they would figure it out like they had later in the year. So for the Cowboys to go in and for Dak to play the way that he played, I've never seen Dak play better. And it's because of the stakes. It's the best playoff game he's ever had in his career. And he was doing it after coming off a disappointing loss against the Washington Commanders in the last week of the season. I thought all of that combined gives me confidence. You know, I can, like I said, I don't speak for myself. It gives me confidence that they can go and make a run towards the Super Bowl. They're just running into another team in the San Francisco 49ers that is the number one defense in the league. They pride themselves in running the football, and they've got playmakers all over the field on offense that give you nightmare matchups on the defensive side of the ball. I'm not saying that they can't beat the Niners. I think they can. And when Dak plays like that, I mean, he had a fire. He threw that touchdown that he threw where he scrambled around, and I think he threw it in the end zone to Dalton Schultz or one of the tight ends. He landed right in front of me and Booger McFarland. And the fire that he had on that play, like, that's the type of player that all the Dallas Cowboys want to rally around. That's the guy that everybody's been wanting to see more consistently from Dak. So if he plays like that, and I think it's very easily doable for him, he was dialed in and on fire. Man, they could be really dangerous in the playoffs.
So if you're hanging with Booger, then you must have seen Sapp and Brooks too, right? All,
oh my goodness.
Right.
Oh yeah, I definitely saw Sapp. How could you not see Sapp?
Yep. I mean, Sapp, Booger, and Brooks, those are some very prideful men with a ring on their finger from that place. No doubt about that. And so what's your best sense what happens with Brady, Robert? What do you think?
Oh, man. You know, if you took Brady's press conference and Aaron Rodgers' press conference, you would think, man, both of these guys are done, right? They're almost saying their farewells. But I think that's just the byproduct of being in that moment. Like, Brady knew going into that game, like, there's a possibility this could be my last football game. Rodgers knew going into his game, there's a possibility this could be my last game as a Packer. So I think they're just looking back on everything in that moment. They're disappointed with the result, and they want everyone to know that, you know, they appreciate it and they appreciate the journey. But I think once they step away, they'll be able to take some time and truly think about it. So for Tom Brady, like, this is his life. This is what he wants to do. He retired and came back because he realized he missed it. And he's been in the league for like 50 years, right? The guy still wants to play football. So I think if he is still dedicated himself to the game, I think there's a great chance that we see him continue to play.
And I would love to see it because could you imagine? I mean, he threw it 66 times, Robert. He threw it six. He's and he's a 45-year-old guy who threw it 66 times. We will never see somebody his age throw what for 21 more times than the number of years he's been on the planet. It's unbelievable what he does and what we take for granted. And the sign that I took that it could be his last game was the fact that his parents were in the tunnel. You know, his family was in a tunnel down there on the field. And I don't know how often that's happened. We had Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. He said he's never seen that before. Now, clearly, his parents could have, you know, take another trip next year to say goodbye to him if he has another final potential game. That you can't say that that's a definite. But, you know, I'd love to see him play again. I would love to see him play again. And I'd love to see him with the weapons and give it one more shot. Because this just didn't feel like it. It just felt off from the minute they started playing football this year, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I would even say, Rich, that his parents being there isn't necessarily a sign that it's over, but a sign that they realize that it could be over.
Right, right,
right. Brady understands like what's going on. But yes, they've looked they haven't looked like the Bucs all year. They just couldn't get it in sync. They couldn't get everything on the same page. The protection up front because of the injuries was a question. But Brady can still throw the football around. He can still throw the pill around. A couple things got to happen. I do believe Gronk's got to come back. Brady needs Gronk. And if they can get healthy and stay healthy on the offensive line and have a running game, if he stays in Tampa Bay, they still have a really good chance to run it back one more time. But I don't think it's about those guys on the team wanting to get Brady another ring. The man's got seven of them, right? I think they're going to try to convince him to come back because they want another opportunity to go get a ring with Brady. And I think that might be the selling point that they can give him to come back for.
Last one for you, Robert Griffin III. You said earlier, you know, if Dak can play like that, and then, you know, you could clearly fill in the rest of the sentence. What about Daniel Jones? If Daniel Jones can play like that again, the analogy I used on the show on Monday, and there are numbers to support it, he looked like Kaepernick to me. He looked like the He looked like the Kaepernick that showed up in Lambeau Field, you know, in the NFC North back in the day. And as a matter of fact, he and Kurt Warner, Prior to Daniel Jones, Cap and Kurt Warner were the only quarterbacks in the history of the NFL to win their first career playoff game with 375 or more offensive yards all by themselves. I don't know, man. Daniel Jones, he looked amazing. How far do you think the Giants can go, Robert?
Yeah, we talked about this on Monday Night Countdown. People are sleeping right now on Daniel Jones's dual threat ability.
Yeah.
So you talk about it 375 yards. Obviously, Cap did it a certain way. Kurt Warner did it a certain way. Well, Daniel Jones did it both ways, right?
Yeah.
301 passing yards, 78 rushing yards. And right now, you can talk about all these, sayings or whatnot, but let Danny dime, that's not really him just drop back, pass it, and just picking teams apart. Like, it's his decision-making, making sure he throws the checkdowns, getting the ball to the right guy, throwing it to the open guy. He's doing all that at an extremely high level, and then when it's not there, he's using his legs with urgency to get out of the pocket. And I think that's the biggest difference year to year for him. He's making great decisions, and he's running at the right times. And I think all the credit goes to Daniel Jones because he's been under fire all off season and all year for his play, and he showed up big time this year for what was expected of him. And then also Brian Daboll, right? The fact that he came into New York with a roster that wasn't as talented as the one he had in Buffalo, and he was able to get the most out of it, right? He didn't complain. He just put a plan together to get the most out of his roster. It just shows you how much coaching matters. So Daniel Jones, you talk about if he plays like this, he's going to have to play like that and some to get a win against Philly, because Philly is the better team all around, and they can beat you in so many different ways, even if the game gets ugly. But Daniel Jones, you could argue that he's made the impression that he should be the guy moving forward based off the way that he's playing right now.
So then here's my last question for you. The road team that will win this weekend, because it's a very rare occurrence to see a divisional round playoff be a complete home sweep. What do you have for me on that, Robert Griffin III?
The road team, man. Bills seem like a team of destiny, right? With everything that they've been through this year, it'd have to be either the Cowboys or the Bengals, I feel like. But I'm not confident in any of those, Rich.
I bet.
I think the home teams this year are so strong, I wouldn't be surprised if it was a clean sweep.
Okay. Robert, thanks for the time, as always. Really. Let me know whatever I could do for you, with you, anytime. You've got my number. Please do that. Let's chat soon.
Appreciate you, Rich. God bless you.
Right, right back at you at RG3Sticks on Twitter and Instagram. Look, I throw the name Colin Kaepernick out there knowing what a manhole cover that is to throw around, and you're talking about playoff quarterbacks. Lost amongst the obvious conversation as to why Colin's not playing anymore and what happened with him and is the fact that he was a dynamite quarterback with the chips down in the early parts of his
career. People don't want to remember or acknowledge that.
Dynamite quarterback when the chips were down. Let's not forget, Alex Smith is a first overall selection.
Mm-hmm.
Colin Kaepernick, I remember meeting him first time I ever met him was in the hallways of NFL Network when he was coming through from the University of Nevada as a prospect, college football quarterback prospect that few people were talking about. Very few people were talking about. Nobody watched him play on, ESPN nationally. Nobody watched him play. But he was just tall, and he was just towering over me. Towering. And I'm like, wow. Who's going to draft him? Niners wind up drafting him. Goes there. And remember when Harbaugh put him in? Took Alex Smith out and put him in? I mean, just think about it.
And the Niners were rolling, too, at that point, right? They were doing well.
Would you mind looking that up, Christopher?
Yeah, and Alex 2012? Smith got wrecked. I was looking up his playoff game log. That first playoff game against Green Bay.
I have it here, too. The numbers are ridiculous. Because Warner's on this list, 375 or more offensive yards. in the first career playoff game and a win. Okay. Kurt's on this list because he threw for 391 passing yards.
Right.
That's why he's on this list. In his first career playoff game. I think he also had 5 touchdowns, by the way. That's Kurt coming out of the gate. Well, okay. All right, kiddo. You're on that magic carpet ride. Again, that's the whole conversation. If there were shows like this one back in the day, it's this just whatever people said about Brock Purdy going into this weekend, fill in that blank with Kurt Warner's name if back in 1999 if there were first takes or shows like this one, right?
I remember going, wait a minute, the running back from Penn State is quarterbacking Rams? Like, what do you mean Kurt Warner?
That's right. With the C.
With the C,
The famed Seattle Seahawk running back. And so that's how Kurt came out of the gate. Colin Kaepernick went into Lambeau Field. Well, I imagine game time temp had to be...
not warm.
Okay. It was at night. I remember this game.
Yeah, I remember too. I'll tell you the game time temp in a second.
Look at that, because I just remember they were playing like some man coverage sometimes, and they turn around and, oh, here comes this like 9-foot tall guy who gets 5 yards per stride.
Not as bad as you thought.
Okay.
48 degrees.
Okay. Honestly, like the guy took 2 steps and it would be a first down. Unreal. He had 263 passing yards and 2 touchdowns on that night. Now, Danny Dimes, if you will, just had 17 carries in this game for 78 rushing yards, the one that he just had. 301 passing yards, 78 rushing yards. That's how he got over the 375 on 17 carries. Kaepernick carried it 16 times for 181 yards rushing.
I'll do the math for you, Rich. That's 11.3 yards a carry.
For 2 touchdowns. He threw for 2. He ran for 2. I just remember the Packers were like, uncle. Yeah, they were tapping out. Yeah.
He would run around the edge, and it was like, okay, we can't stop this guy.
Truly. Folks, we cannot forget how amazing he was.
Yeah, so he came in week 9, Rich. So that was against St. Louis when Alex Smith got blown up. Kaepernick entered the game, went 11 for 17 for 117 yards, and then started the rest of the season.
Yeah,
Harbaugh
stuck with him. Remember, he's like, really?
Yeah. Alex Smith was 6-2-1.
Right, but this is the moment that Alex Smith was drafted for by Mike Nolan, the previous administration, just to be ready for this moment. And they sat him, and they put Kaepernick out there and made it into the red zone with hardly any time left in the Super Bowl. And Michael Crabtree still thinks he got held.
He's probably right.
Kaepernick, after that game, went to Atlanta in the NFC Championship game, went 16 for 21 for 233 yards, missed on 5 passes. He only ran it twice. And then in the Super Bowl, he threw for 302 yards and ran for 62. Touchdown in the air, touchdown on the ground himself. Come on. He was unbelievable. And I'm telling you, when I watch Daniel Jones, I'm sitting there thinking, where have I seen this before? Where big, tall guy, first career playoff game, and he's just wearing everyone out. But just to, how good Jones was throwing it and slinging it and running it, Kaepernick was 3X in that game. Right? He was like a superhero in that game.
Yeah.
Just figured we should spend some time talking about that. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We'll take your phone calls. Interesting conversation that we saw from our friends at Good Morning Football that you saw earlier this week. I'm like, let's just rip it off from them. You know? It's called sampling, as Dan Patrick would call it.
Yeah, that's what in the rap world.
Which coach would have his legacy altered the most with a Super Bowl run and win? Coming up.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s. The breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
The Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, powered by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger is the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Let's go to Gene in Florida. He's been hanging on for a while. What's up, Gene?
Hey, how you doing, Rich? I love this new Roku channel, I can tell you that.
Attaboy.
Hey, that's what's up, Gene.
I like it.
Shout out to Roku
Gene.
Joe.
Let me tell you something, mean Gene.
I like the way it's set up, everything about it.
Excellent, Gene.
I got a question for you. You know, Lamar Jackson, I'm from Baltimore, grew up in Dundalk. I haven't been a big fan of Lamar just because I know he's a super player, but I just don't see any longevity. I don't think it's sustainable the way he plays. If Baltimore, and this is kind of a challenge, if Baltimore says, all right, we're not going to be able to work it out, we're not going to be able to give him what he wants, time to move on, how can we help ourselves next year?
Yes.
What steps could Baltimore take, assuming a scenario that Baltimore's kind of done with Lamar?
I don't know, because their entire operation, the minute they benched Joe Flacco in 2018, was arranged to run the offense around Lamar Jackson. I mean, to say that they've been all in on him is an understatement. And so I clearly you can change things around.
Could we deal him early and like get some draft picks this year, maybe? I mean, in this draft, not 2024, not 25, right now.
This is not the draft to have first round picks in for quarterbacks, one would think. I mean, as talented as Stroud and Bryce Young, and this is going to be part of the conversation that we're going to have over the next several weeks. Combine, by the way, is about 5-6 weeks away, and then the draft, as you know, is late April in Kansas City. This is going to be part of the conversation. Next year is the year that you want to have multiple picks, and the year, you know, so if you can get multiple picks in 2014 and 2024 and 2025, you can package them together and maybe go get one of these generationally talented kids. I don't know. Again, thanks for the call, Gene. It really all depends on how this team feels about Lamar. And like I said, you know, you heard Robert Griffin say, I spoke to him, he's hurt. I spoke to him, he was sick. I spoke to him, this is an unfair characterization. And then I get the exact opposite from other people. You know, thank goodness it's not my job to be an information man or woman. It's my job is to synthesize and tell you what I think. And again, my spidey sense says that there's something going on there, and that it needs to be. And they're doing it clearly behind the scenes, because if it is the way that I'm hearing some people say it's not good there, then you want to talk about an outstanding. Well, they do have an outstanding communications team there, but an outstanding communications plan. Hey, everybody, the minute there's a microphone in front of you, we're talking about how great Lamar is and how great this situation is. And no matter what was going on around here, this is the face front conversation, and everyone's going to have it with a smile on your face. And I guess Sammy Watkins didn't get the memo, And, you know, in a fit of pique, J.K. Dobbins saying we could have won with if Lamar was starting. I kind of went off that reservation a little bit. But everybody else has been in absolute lockstep. And the next time we see or hear from John Harbaugh or Dee Podesta, DaCosta, their general manager, will be at the combine. Won't be for another 5-6 weeks. So you could put that to bed. Now, let's talk about this conversation. Let's have this conversation. Because you came in the other day and said you were watching Good Morning Football. This is when your car was not on blocks, right?
Yeah, that's not fun.
And your tires weren't flat. But you said there was a conversation that my colleagues on Good Morning Football had about which of the final eight coaches would have the most legacy altering of their resume with a win in the Super Bowl this year.
Great. Yeah. Which coach legacy changes the most?
Okay.
With the Super Bowl.
It's a fascinating conversation.
I really enjoyed it.
And so let's go one by one. Hoskins, you dealer's choice. You dealer's choice, our coordinating producer. We're going to start with the Saturday game, Jaguars and Chiefs. So would a second Super Bowl win for Andy Reid alter his legacy? I think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, regardless of what happens the rest of his career.
Yeah, I think.
Yes, and that's fine. But that takes you now from one
to two.
And maybe a first ballot, maybe not. Discussion, I'm sure. But now you're guaranteed first ballot, and you're talked among the all-time greats.
Okay. So you got that.
As opposed to just a guy who had a run with Philly, never got over the top. Did he get lucky because he got Patrick Mahomes?
Ah, come on.
And now it's, you're the guy, this is your offense, you lose Tyreek Hill, and now you go back to the Super Bowl and win?
Let me answer your higher register question. Did he get lucky getting Patrick Mahomes? Everybody thought when they were trading up was for Deshaun Watson. And then we were all sitting there in Philadelphia going, oh, Mahomes, huh? They must see something in this kid that a lot of the evaluators were talking about his upside, but not over Watson. So they chose him. They chose him out of a lot of options. And I'm sure they thanked the they thanked the Bears for taking Trubisky off the board first. All right. I think, yes, of course, two is better than one. And it would be amazing that he wins this one. And it would be remarkable for him. But I don't know if he's going to be the most legacy altering of them all.
It does change. It puts him on a different tier.
Interestingly enough, let me just do this. There's only three coaches this weekend for whom we would be talking about a second one. And one of them happens to be across the field from Reed. And we all know he's an Andy Reid guy. Doug Peterson. You know, so here's Doug Peterson. Now, I would proffer to say this. Of the two coaches on this field for whom this would be a legacy-altering run, it would be Peterson over Reed. I mean, you could basically say that. I mean, Doug Peterson won his second one. We're not talking about Doug Peterson as a Hall of Fame head coach right now. Two, where he wins one, the first one ever in Philadelphia, something Reed couldn't do, and then does it for Jacksonville, takes over a team that picks first overall for a second straight year and turns Trevor Lawrence into a Super Bowl quarterback on the spot, certainly after the kid threw four interceptions in his first half of playoff play. That would be wild.
So when I brought this up to you,
say the least,
Peterson was my pick simply because of that fact. You took the Eagles, who had never won a Super Bowl, who, as a Cowboys fan and the rest of the East, we were kind of happy to hold that over their heads no matter what. He wins a Super Bowl with the Eagles, gets a statue. He wins a Super Bowl with the Jacksonville Jaguars? So, you legitimately are speaking about this guy in just revered tone.
Suddenly he's Brian Billick, he's John Gruden, and now he's Tom Coughlin. Now he's... He's talked about in that other realm now.
Well, the other realm would also be winning one with two different teams.
Which I don't think anyone's ever
done. Two different teams. I don't think anyone's ever done.
Two franchises who had never won a Super Bowl
before.
All right,
so let's place this aside for the moment. Or do we want to do it like tournament style, like Peterson advances?
Peterson advances.
I personally don't think he's going to be the winner.
Hold on a second. Because let's talk about the third coach that's coaching this weekend who's already won one. If Mike McCarthy wins, Mike McCarthy takes the Cowboys to win the Super Bowl and he becomes the first coach to win a Super Bowl with two different teams. And he takes the Cowboys to a spot that everybody not named Johnson, Landry, or
Switzer
is done. Okay. And he does this after everybody's been talking about him the way that they have, that he's got a street named after him in Green Bay. Not just two franchises that he would take to a Super Bowl. Two of the most
legendary, vaunted
franchises.
I don't know if I can live in a world where Mike McCarthy is a Hall of Famer.
Come on, man. You go from toll taker to Super Bowl winning head coach for the Packers and Cowboys?
Yeah.
Like you win for either side of the Ice Bowl?
You're in.
I mean,
that's a lock.
So, okay, and then you've got Kyle Shanahan. If he takes the 49ers to the Super Bowl with Brock Purdy as his quarterback. Come on now. Like, what would that mean for him? I don't know, again, if it would mean so much. Any first-timer, you could throw him in the mix and Daboll and Sirianni in the mix, that they would have a Super Bowl ring on their finger. Ask McVay how it changes things, right? Ask any guy who's got a ring on his finger. Okay? John Harbaugh. We're talking about Jim wants one, John's got one.
It's a father-son situation now with Super Bowl.
Correct.
Ring.
His dad had two, he's got one. His dad got one with a McCaffrey, two with a McCaffrey, he's got one with a McCaffrey. I mean,
it would erase a lot of the 28-3 stuff. Because he was the OC for Atlanta, obviously.
Daboll and Sirianni to take for Daboll to do this with Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley in his first year as head coach, to do that. And Sirianni to go ahead and take the Eagles to the Super Bowl with Jalen Hurts in a season where a lot of folks thought, yeah, the Eagles can win the division, but the whole damn shooting match? What about Sean McDermott to be the guy who finally took the Buffalo Bills to the mountaintop and put a parade in Western New York? And, I mean, you want to talk about lit, what a parade would be like. I mean, that figuratively and places would be, you know, there would be fires on fires and stuff like that.
Hoskins just said something that's kind of disrespectful, that he would pass Marv Levy in Hoskins' book. I don't know about that.
I don't know. Hoskins is the diehard Bills fan.
I'm not
so it's not like
him.
he's just jumping on a bandwagon here. I mean, that's legit.
Also, Sean McDermott, the only quote-unquote defensive coach among the final eight.
That's true. To be the first Buffalo Bills head coach to win a Super Bowl. And then, of course, you got the Bengals. You know, you've got the Bengals, you know, for them to finally break through and bring a championship. So you've got – I understand that you've got an opportunity to win your first, and that would change your legacy, obviously. You've got a ring on your finger. And you'd be able to stare at it the rest of your days, and you've got a championship team, and you've completed it. But it would be hard. I mean, at this point in time, I'd have to settle on the two coaches whose legacies would be altered the most is Mike McCarthy and Doug Peterson.
I completely agree.
And then the question to the – if I had to say it with Kyle Shanahan right there – Shanahan goes in, you know, along with Bill Walsh and George Seifert to win a Super Bowl ring for the San Francisco 49ers and finally bring one back
there.
You know, right. So, Freddie DiBartolo's nephew, You know, like that is impressive. And certainly to do it with Purdy, to do it with the last pick in the draft and three different quarterbacks on the season, that would be a story, obviously, and it would be an amazing legacy story with his father. You want to talk about legacies, obviously, family and tradition.
But football's family.
And Doug Peterson, though, to take the Jaguars to the Super Bowl with Trevor Lawrence. But I'd have to say, I have to, when it all comes down to it.
It's Mike McCarthy,
right?
Yeah. Because he kind of goes from, we all poke a lot of fun at this guy. You know what I mean? Every year now with Dallas, is he coaching for his job? Suddenly now he wins a Super Bowl. He's in the Hall of Fame.
You'd have to put him there, right?
Without question.
Yeah, right?
First guy to win a Super Bowl with two teams, and not just any two teams.
Green Bay and Dallas.
The two of the most iconic teams in the history of the National Football League. Done. First ballot. It's over.
And also with Mike McCarthy, you know, and I'm noticing this as the season goes on, anytime something goes bad for Dallas, it's all fingers are pointed at Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, right?
And it goes well?
His job's in trouble, blah, blah, blah. Like, think about Mike McDaniel, what he did this weekend. Not knowing it was fourth down. Mike McDaniel, by the way, got off easy, in my opinion, because no one's talking about that. My Lord, imagine if that had been Mike McCarthy.
Forget it.
Who did not know it was fourth down in a playoff game.
He was told by his staff it was fourth down and didn't have a play ready. He was told by his staff, he said it was first down. And then when it was told it was fourth down, didn't have a play at his. But again, that's his first rodeo and what have you.
I'm just saying with McCarthy.
I get it.
And I would hope.
I understand.
And there's a saying that, you know, you would hope the apology is as loud and as public as the disrespect was.
Yeah, don't lose that intensity to use the Michael Irvin phrase.
And I hope that if this team does win, people give this man his props because he's had this Sean Payton, like, ghost looming over him.
But look at this week. Look at this Monday night in that respect. Look at Monday night. Hey, Dak, Dalton Schultz, Tony Pollard, CeeDee Lamb. Kellen Moore was dialing up, wasn't he? Hey, Micah Parsons and Vander Esch and the rest of those guys. Yeah. Boy, Dan Quinn's going to get a job somewhere, isn't he?
Someone's name hadn't been
mentioned. Yeah, Mike McCarthy. It's just
Jerry
Jones.
Oh,
yeah, that guy. That guy. All we're talking about was his kind of dance moves that he said was between breakdancing and a gritty. You know? And so I got to go with him. But Doug Peterson right behind him and Kyle right behind Peterson.
I think you're right on that.
844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere. Moose Johnston will come up. He's calling Giants Eagles and just called the Niners Seahawks, and he's played in Cowboys Niners.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
If you don't know your numbers, you don't know your business. That's true, and your business is growing fast and even more true, and there's a lot of uncertainty. Guess what? Not every business, though, is so uncertain that they don't know their numbers. Not every business is in the dark. There's over 33,000 businesses that know their numbers because they use NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, planning, budgeting, and, of course, inventory. You can manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins, everything you need, all in one place. Know your numbers, know your business, and get to know how NetSuite can be the source of truth for your entire company. Right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/richradio right now. netsuite.com/richradio. netsuite.com/richradio. Didn't talk about it yesterday. Let's talk about it now. Jim Harbaugh staying at the University of Michigan.
Hey.
So that's 2 years in a row where
set your watch
he has now gone ahead and dipped his toe in the National Football League coaching carousel pool, only to pull his toe out of it and stay with the University of Michigan. This news was terrific to me and everybody else for me, and it's great news. He says, my heart is at the University of Michigan. I once heard a wise man say, don't try to out-happy happy. Go blue, says Jim Harbaugh. And I'm like, don't out try to out-happy happy, meaning
you're already happy?
No, what it means he's happy and it's great. So meaning that he was trying to think, could there be more happiness somewhere else? And if that's the NFL for him, if that is the NFL for him, you know, I'm kind of torn between, of course I want to be head coach at Michigan. I love him as head coach at Michigan. And for me, it's personal because when I arrived on campus with a lot more hair and a much thicker New York accent in 1986 as a freshman there, he was the quarterback. He was my first ever quarterback. When I first was introduced to Michigan football and first went to games in the big house, that's my quarterback. So it's personal for me, and there's so many others who feel the same way. But you get the sinking feeling, is this it? Is this over? Is this going to be every year? And my only reservation to this being an every year thing is, what does it mean for recruiting? If he, I saw a video of him like walking around with weights and doing like shoulder lifts with weights in the state of Washington. Like he's already like he does stuff like that in recruiting, and kids kind of dig it. They eat it up.
At kids' houses,
right? And it goes viral, and it's fun. Like that's what you need to do in the 21st century.
Yep.
So, and that kid may be sold, but the next coach that comes in with each passing year can say, "Yeah, you go there," but how long is he going to be there? Mm-hmm. And it gives credence to those statements that are made, no doubt, by the competition in recruiting. And if he can overcome that and still get the right kids to come, I don't care. Then it sucks to sit through it every year for a week, 2 weeks. You're wondering, is this it? What's going on? But last year kind of informed me in this year. Last year I was like, oh, God, it's signing day, and he's literally – on a Zoom with the Vikings, or he's literally in a meeting with the Vikings. I guess he was in Minnesota, like personally, face-to-face. And I'm like, what a way to follow up one of the greatest seasons we've had in recent years. What's going to happen? How's he going to recruit the right guys? How's he going to get the right coordinators? How's he going to get it all straightened out? They went 13-0. So, all right, let's do it again. Because a bunch of kids coming back, as you know, Blake Corum kindly chose this show as the platform to announce he's sticking around. Great. Let's run it back.
Cornelius.
He's sticking around.
Yeah.
Let's go. Run it back. And if they win it all and the NFL comes calling again, I'll buckle my seatbelt.
Would you be okay, though, at that point?
I don't know. You know, if he wants to go, any point in time in hour number three coming out with Moose Johnston. Any point in time he leaves and he's happy to do it, then fine. Then we'll find somebody else to coach, and I can only hope it's as good as him. You know, no hard feelings. I wanted him to come. He's here, and it's just, this is part of it. It's part of it.
Yeah, this is part of the Harbaugh.
In the same way
experience.
With Belichick, you're just not going to get much from your coach in press conferences.
Yep.
You're not going to get that.
Yep.
You know what you get from most coaches and from Jim Harbaugh, it's clearly like wondering if the grass is greener on the NFL side of the fence still, or
over there.
You know, like what's happening here,
anybody
or
need me?
But also he's out here, he knows what that grass is like. He's
no, I know,
you
know,
yeah, so, but he hasn't tasted the ultimate,
you know. And then, so one last thing on this subject matter, because I know that the haters are going to hate and troll and what have you. So, did you see, you know, Taylor Lewan put out there a video celebrating Harbaugh coming back to Michigan? See what Compton wrote back. He wrote back, ah, yes, the doormat of the college football playoff is back for another run.
Oh, man.
LeBron said, rather be a doormat in the college football playoff than just a doormat of college football. Then I wrote back, might as well cement the Bussin trophy to the shelf in Schembechler Hall. Let's go. Let's go, Will. We got our guy. You got Matt Rhule in his vest, his red vest.
We need to get Will on.
We came close. We almost had a year 10 appearance today.
Oh, dang.
We'll get him on next week.
Let's do it.
And we'll talk about that Bussin trophy.